This is the House State and Federal Affairs Committee meeting of July 7th, 1983.
429, I'll tell the committee that I was not going to hear this bill, but because of a request of one of our colleagues that they want the bill back in Judiciary Committee, as a courtesy to him, I felt it was reasonable to move the bill back to Judiciary and allow Judiciary to have the bill again.
So moved.
Representative Schoon moves House Bill 2429 back to Judiciary. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Shiprock.
Would you tell me why they want it back? Do you know?
Yes, I do. They amended, the bill came out of our committee.
Right.
It did not have the needed votes to pass in its form. They used it as a vehicle to answer another question, and I have given my word to the Speaker, I would not see any more House votes in this committee. So as a courtesy, they want the bill back so that they can act upon the bill.
Oh, it's strictly because you didn't want to have it?
I gave the Speaker my word that I would not hear any more House bills. He wants us to get through the Senate bills and close this committee up. Representative Schoon moves House Bill 2429 back to Judiciary. Call roll, please.
Representative Camel, Representative Gilmore.
Aye.
Otto.
Aye.
Schoon.
Aye.
Shiprock.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye. Five to nothing. It goes back to Judiciary Committee. We're in hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 202. I'll wait just for a second. We have some people signing up. I will tell the audience that we have to be back on the floor of the House in about 58 minutes. I'll ask the people testifying to be as direct as possible so that we can save some time on this matter. Yup. Is Mike Dewey here?
He's just walked out for a moment.
Okay, I'd like to have Mike come up first and...
Oh, if he's not here, he's not here.
He just stepped outside the door. Yes.
Who does this? Hey, I voted on this once.
Yeah, main bill and took the amendments, actually.
You know, I voted on this once.
Do I have to vote on it again?
I have to listen to all this debate.
I want to hear the argument. And that's why I knew it well.
Hey, you big phone.
So I've got to allow those people to...
I bet you carefully orchestrated this. This is one of your Republican tactics. Delay the session. Right, correct? This is exactly the way they do it every session. You start to catch on, right?
Mike Dewey is not there at this time. Arnold Biscar was here last time and didn't get a chance to talk. Arnold, would you like to come up and identify yourself? Is Dan Cooper with you? You're Dan Cooper? Fine, that's fine.
I'm going to look and see what they did to it.
I bet you don't like that.
Murray?
Yes.
You know, we still have the conference call.
3 o'clock?
I know, we're going to have to get through from the floor.
Generally, that's what happens.
That's what we do.
Well, he didn't like it, but we got to...
I don't like to, but I can't miss that conference call.
Okay. Arnold, please.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Arnold Biscar. I am a commissioner from Multnomah County, representing District 1. And I'm here, I would like to read into the record a statement to do with Senate Bill 202. The Multnomah County Board of County Commissioners would like to go on record in opposition to amendments proposed to Senate Bill 202. These amendments proposed by the Public Utilities Commissioner on June 30, 1983, present a number of concerns for our jurisdiction. Procedurally, we are concerned that the issues raised relative to cable TV are not housekeeping matters, but rather complex areas.
Arnold, one moment. Yes,
Representative Gilmore?
Yes.
With all due respect, I can read faster than you can.
All right.
Fine. And you can enter this in the record if you'd like. Maybe the rest of the committee would like to hear him read it.
Well, I would rather, and I'm glad you brought it up, Representative Gilmore. Arnold, just give us, and I hate to be pushing for time, but we're
no problem at all. Basically, we have just gone through a very long process of in excess of 3 years in working out an agreement between Multnomah County and Cable Systems Pacific, representing approximately 140,000 people in East County. We are concerned as to the effects that this bill might have on that, and whether or not these residents of East Multnomah County would get their cable TV at this time, or whether or not the contract between the county and the cable company might not be rescinded. We have some grave concerns about it. We feel these matters need a great deal of public airing and attention, and we are here to present our position to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I got a question.
Representative Gilmore?
I've read the bill, and I don't see where that your concern is in the bill. Can you be specific?
Perhaps, Representative Gilmore, I can answer your questions in some of my remarks, and I'd be happy to handle any questions you have for me afterwards.
Well, can you answer that question?
Yes, I can. Why don't I identify myself?
Okay.
My name is Daniel Cooper. I'm an attorney. I represent the Multnomah Cable Regulatory Commission.
Mm-hmm.
It's a body that's been formed by Multnomah County, Gresham, Troutdale, Fairview, and Wood Village to negotiate and administer the cable television franchise for the East County area. They've formed that body after going through a long process, as the commissioner has said. It not only has taken them 3 years almost in this phase, but the Multnomah County's efforts go back to 10 years ago when they formed a joint effort with the city of Portland, which basically led to, through a citizens' involvement process, the system design that is contained in both
yes,
the city franchises.
Yes, where in the bill is this specifically?
This bill in Section 13
okay.
requires anyone who is going to construct or operate a telecommunication system to first obtain a certificate of public necessity and convenience from the Public Utilities Commissioner.
You haven't shown that through your public hearing and how you organized this already. Is that what you're saying? That public need?
We have not been involved with any proceedings in front of the Public Utility Commissioner because this bill.
Informing what you have now, you had public hearings.
We have had public hearings.
Okay.
We have had extensive ascertainment programs where citizens met, considered what should be the design
okay.
of any cable television system, and over a long period of time have consistently agreed that any cable television system built in either East County or as the city of Portland should be a full telecommunication system with full two-way capability rather than just one-way television signals. It should have the capacity to do many other things as well.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative, are you through, Representative Gilmore?
Yes.
Representative Campbell.
Have you discussed this concern with the Public Utilities Commissioner, and has he given you an indication that your concerns are justified in the fact that it would delay your procedures that you've agreed to?
I believe so, yes. I have not personally discussed this matter with him. I understand other people, representatives of Multnomah County and the League of Oregon Cities, have had discussions with him, and it is my understanding that he is very concerned about the system we have designed that is authorized and mandated by the contract we have with the cable company, and that, in fact, he might not grant any certificate of public necessity and convenience, and he certainly might grant a very limited permission to do only some but not all of the things that are called for in our contract with the cable TV company. It is our feeling that given that circumstance, the investment the cable television company has committed to make, the fact that we went through a competitive process where two cable companies entered a bid based on our specifications, if we knew then that no telecommunications capacity would be allowed without the permission of the Public Utilities Commissioner, and that what would be allowed might be very limited compared to what we had considered as being possible and desirable, then the design, the specifications that were in effect put up for bid might have been very different. we might have emphasized much more community access rather than the delivery of a two-way communication system. That has a drastic impact on the rates that the subscribers will pay for the basic television services, and in effect throws the whole thing into a cocked hat.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Campbell.
Are you indicating in your testimony that the fact that you can't provide or couldn't provide two-way communication system would have an adverse effect on those receiving cable cable connection?
Let me put it this way. The system that the company has proposed to build, that we've called for in our contract, is premised on that what they are going to build is a highly sophisticated two-way communication system.
Which provides the ability to compete, is what you're saying.
It provides the ability to do a lot of different things. A lot of, some of them are totally unrelated to what the phone companies do right now.
Mr. Chairman,
some of them are related to what the phone companies do.
Representative Campbell?
You mentioned that this could adversely affect 168,000. Maybe my figures are wrong because I wasn't following.
140. 140. It's the approximate population of East unincorporated East County.
But aren't you referring to the inability or the ability to hook up to cable TV?
Pardon?
Aren't you referring to the ability or inability to hook up to cable TV?
I was referring to the fact as to whether or not cable would be still available if the company decided that this was a way for them not to continue on with the contract.
I see. Okay.
I will say that we're entering your testimony into record, Commissioner.
I guess I would add one more thing to our testimony. If you consider this bill in front of you as a bill that would allow the deregulation of telephone services, we have absolutely no position on that. We certainly have no opposition to that. The question of whether telephone services in any particular instance should be regulated or deregulated, I think, goes far beyond the scope of my client's interests, which is cable television only. Our concern is that requiring the cable television company to first obtain a certificate of public necessity and convenience before they could literally provide any two-way service, and the fact that that throws a totally unknown factor at this time into their process of getting their system built, negates 10 years of study on our part and citizens' involvement. And particularly, you should understand that in our view, a certificate of public necessity and convenience is something, it is a code word out of public utility regulation law that presents a very rigid test for the granting of those certificates and is grounds for denying the certificate if it would have an adverse effect on an existing company. It is not language that encourages competition. This language is that allows the continuation of monopolies.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Gilmore.
After listening to your statement concerning that, doesn't most cities and counties, when they award a contract to a cable communication for a franchise, take in public need, necessity, and convenience?
That's certainly the things they're considering, but the language in, when you put it into law as part of a public utility statute, it means something entirely different.
Why?
Then because it, over the last 40 years, 50 years, there's been a body of public utility law built up through interpretation by public utility commissioners in all the states and the courts deciding what the statutes meant and how they have been applied. And the term public necessity and convenience has a very, it's almost a term of art in public utility law. When a city
or... you're the lawyer, I'm just the legislator.
I'm trying to explain that to you, Representative, and I appreciate your question. It's something where lawyers often are guilty of speaking of such complexities it goes over everybody's head and they don't know what he's talking about. And
that's why we vote no.
It's not a bad position to take. I have a lot of sympathy for it. That's a limited term of art, and it means that if there's, that's why it protects the monopolies of people like bus companies and trucking companies where competition is viewed as harmful. You literally have, in order to get one of those certificates in that context, it often means you have to show that there are more customers than the existing company can handle. Not that you can do the job cheaper or faster or more competitively, but that simply the demand is too great for them to handle with their existing facilities. That's what that has come to mean over the years. When a city or county is looking at whether it's in the public interest to grant a franchise for cable television and what services the cable television company ought to be providing, they're not looking at it in those terms. Now, perhaps somebody should have thought about what impact on the phone company this type cable television franchise would have. Over the last 10 years, the phone company, I know personally because I represented the city of Portland at the time 10 years ago when they were going through the first design process, the phone company had a lot to say at that time. They were vigorously opposed to a cable communication system being, telecommunications being included in the cable television franchise. When the city of Portland went back 5 years ago and started the process over again, the phone company was much less visible. They didn't oppose it. They went on record as saying, go ahead and let's see what happens. We think we can compete. Now, I don't know what their position is, and I think they're in a changing environment too. But this process that has led to the Multnomah County franchise has taken a long time, and it's been with a lot of public input. And now that we've got the deal signed, it's very frustrating to be presented with a bill which, in our view, says the whole thing is a bad idea because it's going to have some adverse impact on somebody else that we didn't know was going to be affected by this. We certainly didn't have any intent on harming anybody else. We were looking for the best deal we could get for our citizens.
I have one last question.
Sure.
Reading section 13, I guess the greatest question I have is who is going to regulate them if this section's not there?
The cable television company?
Yes.
The Multnomah County Cable Regulatory Commission will be regulating the cable television franchise in that franchise area. Other cities and counties will be regulating cable television companies in their own areas.
How about the possibility where those communications go beyond the county-city lines as their jurisdiction?
Well,
and who regulates them?
If that happens, maybe you need to look at it then. Right now, there are very limited interconnections between cable companies. We are trying like mad to get them to have the capability to send locally produced television signals across jurisdictional boundaries so that something that's been produced locally inside our area at Mount Hood Community College could be seen in Southwest Portland as well as in Southeast Portland. We hope that kind of thing will happen.
Further questions?
I have several, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Otto.
I guess it was last year, but I attended several of the public hearings dealing with Viacom and cable systems out in East Multnomah County as they affected Wood Village, Fairview, Gresham, Troutdale, and Multnomah County. At that time, realizing that both Viacom and cable systems were trying to sell their product, I heard about 9/11 tie-ins. I heard all these different things that cable TV was capable of doing. And it appears as though it's unlimited what cable TV can do. And I guess my question is, if we were to pass this legislation and a certificate of need was required, could you go ahead under your present franchise with Multnomah County, could you go ahead and provide all those services without going to the PUC commissioner?
No.
All right, now, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Supposing that you wanted to hook up the 9/11 system, would you have to go to the PUC commissioner?
I believe so, yes.
All right, and there were a lot of other goodies in there. I forget what they all were. But what you're telling us...
Vote by mail, library transfer,
yes.
lots of things.
All right, what you're telling us that every time that you wanted to make an improvement of service over above what you have now, you would have to go to the PUC commissioner to get approval.
I think the way the bill is written right now, and this may be subject to argument among lawyers, that they couldn't even build the system with two-way capacity without going to the Public Utility Commissioner. They couldn't put the amplifiers in that had the capacity to send the information.
And another question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'm on the Mount Hood School Board, Community College Board, and one of the big things we're looking forward to is the facility located on the campus of Mount Hood Community College. If we pass this bill, would you have to go and get permission from the PUC commissioner to go ahead with that facility and all?
I don't believe so. The access facility itself is strictly television signals. Now, the access section, community access section, which is what Mount Hood Community College would be involved in, does have the right under the franchise agreement to have funding and capacity for using that for two-way signals, so that people watching programs could, using the cable system, talk back to the instructors, take quizzes, answer questions. He could poll to see if anybody was awake in his classroom, find out who was paying attention and who wasn't. That might take the Public Utility Commissioner's permission to do that. But the actual building of the studio and producing TV programs would not.
All right, another question, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Otto.
Multnomah County and the various cities out there, which there are four, I don't know where Maywood Park is, the fifth city, but those four cities signed an agreement with Cable Systems Pacific. Is that correct?
That's right. Okay. Cable Systems Multnomah East. It's a sister corporation.
Same
sister
outfit. If this bill were passed, would there have to be alterations in that contract to comply with what we are proposing in this bill?
I believe so, yes. Extensive.
And, for example, what kind?
The contract calls for them to build a sophisticated telecommunication system that not only is carrying television signals, but has capacity to carry much information in many directions. If you were to say you can't only do the TV part of it, and you can't even build it without the permission of the Public Utility Commissioner, we first of all have to allow them the time to seek the permission from the Public Utility Commissioner. Depending on the results of those applications for those services, we might find ourselves in a position where what they were allowed to build was so vastly different than what the contract originally called for that we had to decide whether or not it was worth going forward with building that system, or whether the public interest would have been better served by building a much different system that had much less capacity to start with and that was aimed at only delivering pure entertainment. There is a large split in the cable television industry right now as to what the wave of the future will be, whether it's entertainment or communication services. The county and those cities opted in their study and their request for proposals from the cable company to look at the telecommunication side as well as the entertainment side. I think that there could be, I don't want to speak for the cable company, I don't think they'd give up easily, but we might determine that we could get vastly lower rates for cable television if it was just pure entertainment. And we might want them not to build if they couldn't build it the way we wanted them to, because we might want to put it up for bid again. It might take a long time. There might be a lot of litigation between the cities, the county, the cable company, the Public Utility Commission, and who knows who else.
Another question.
Representative Otto.
If we pass this new version of Senate Bill 202, then you're saying that the franchises that have previously been granted to the four cities in Multnomah County would in all likelihood have to be altered.
Yes. Yes.
Do what we required you to do.
They would, unless the Public Utility Commissioner were to say, go ahead and do everything the franchises call for, which I doubt very much is his intention, or else why would he be asking for the bill? You'd have to go back literally to square one and figure out what kind of a cable system you were going to have.
That's all I have right now, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. This this whole subject matter is so broad, and each day it seems to be getting broader. We get more and more people expressing a concern. We passed this bill out once. We're under emergency rules, and we only gave a two-hour notice on this, and I didn't feel there would be that problem, but it seems that it continually grows. And one of my concerns is that with the innovation within this system, it's going to continue to grow. Is there any way to produce a piece of legislation that would be fair with everyone for any long period of time? It seemed like it'd have to be updated statutorily every 2 years.
I thought a little bit about some of the problems in terms of whether anybody's going to have jurisdiction over the day when people can talk to each other from house to house by bouncing signals directly off a satellite someplace. I don't know. The technology does change very rapidly.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is I hope you understand the predicament this committee is in trying to justify any movement on this, especially with the time constraints that we do have.
Well, I guess our position would be that if you feel you must pass something to deal with immediate problems that the phone company has, particularly concerning competition from long-distance intrastate carriers, then that's something that we would really have no opinion on whether you do that or not. And if you feel you must do that and provide for some deregulation of phone service as well, we certainly wouldn't have any objection to it. We would like to see all of cable television services exempted from the bill if you were to pass something at all along this line. And I could be happy to give someone some suggested language that would do that, but I wouldn't presume to present it to you until you make up your minds as to which direction you want to go.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Campbell.
Well, I think there's some legitimacy in their concern. And we've been looking at these amendments that we have. There is a portion of the bill that I think would speak to the problem that you just suggested, and that's the portion that is identified in your amendments. A and Gross Senate Bill 202, dated the 30th, page 3, section 4. If you'd look at that and say, if that were the only portion that we used to amend, I believe that it would speak to the cable company's problems. It would also speak to the telephone company's problem, because that language just says the jurisdiction of the commissioner as to the regulation of telecommunication service is not applicable to a service or facility provided by a public utility that is or becomes subject to competition as determined by the commissioner. In determining whether a service or facility is or becomes subject to competition, the commissioner shall consider whether a comparable service or facility is available for more than one public utility within an allocated territory, or from the supplier holding a certificate issued under Section 13 of this Act. When a service or facility provided by public utility becomes subject to such competition, the commissioner shall, within a reasonable period of time, deregulate the service or facility. And that doesn't, well, it'd shake your head, but that doesn't affect you at all.
The only concern I have, Representative, is the language in that section that refers to a supplier holding a certificate and the fact that it talks about telecommunications, and then the bill defines telecommunications.
What I'm suggesting is the bill defines telecommunication by amendment.
That's right.
I'm suggesting that language.
If this was the only amendment that was made, and you.
That's my suggestion.
And if you remove the reference to either a public utility or a supplier and just said that the competition. From more than one source.
Wait a minute. Read that carefully. As an attorney,
okay.
I think you'll find what that says. It has absolutely no effect on the supplier. But you have to identify who it is that's in competition before
sure.
the Public Utilities Commissioner can deregulate.
I guess all I'm saying as an attorney that if that's all you do, then there is no Section 13 of this Act, and maybe you ought to clean that up a little bit so that there isn't some...
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
If the only amendment you make to Senate Bill 202...
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying that if we remove the... Information in the other portion of the...
If this is all you do, then you don't require somebody to get a certificate.
I see what you're saying.
So you don't need to refer.
But in essence, what this would do, I think, is it would give relief. It would give the Public Utilities Commissioner the opportunity to deregulate a service that's found to be in competition.
Yeah. That certainly would
and
not.
It merely tells him that you're going to deregulate it. It doesn't put the cable companies under commission control.
If that's your intent, I don't think my clients have any objection.
Now, the next step, though, would be something that, from my perspective, was suggested by Representative Zajon earlier, and that is that if we take this temporary step, or maybe this will be the permanent step, I don't know, but then we could go into a more long-term study of the problem in the interim. And I would certainly have no objection to that. I don't think our interest is served by necessarily putting a rope around you folks without really looking at what the effects will be. But I'll tell you this, the interest of the people of the state of Oregon is not served by the telephone company not being able to compete.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Zajon.
Could I ask Representative Campbell if he would support legislation via this bill to totally deregulate the phone company right now, today, this afternoon? And just put it in 202.
You mean
this at its meeting, and as opposed to the amendments as originally produced, I would say that we would support Representative Campbell's new amendments.
Well, Mr. Chairman, can I make a suggestion? Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to jump right in here. First of all, I'd like to make sure that his statements are entered into the record. On the original, that's what you want to do, right?
Well, we're prepared to discuss the original amendments.
Okay, those are entered in, number one. Number two is, I think there's a consensus, at least maybe a little bit at this end of the table, for the Campbell possibility, and maybe the Campbell possibility can be discussed in the audience out there so that maybe we might be talking on the same subject and cut down on the possibility.
Okay. Now, how many copies do we have of the amendments the commissioner, utility commissioner, gave us today,
Lee?
Why don't you? I'd like to have anyone that's deeply concerned look at those.
And the reason I'm saying that is if they could come back and maybe a little bit of united front, because I see Dewey over here in the Port of Portland and in Washington County.
Well, it's the Metropolitan Area Communications
Committee. And then Beth's back there, and we don't know where she's at all yet.
Oh, is your witness? Sure.
What I'm saying is it sounds like a lot of people are on the same side, and there's a lot of people on the other side. Maybe you guys ought to get together at least till
you'll have an
the
hour
same
and
people
half
are on the same side and the same people are on the opposite side, and we can kind of draw it down. We can pick a spokesman person.
I think that's an excellent idea.
Thank you.
If I could suggest, Mr. Chairman, if Representative Campbell might restate his amendments so we would also understand those.
We've got a committee clerk who maybe could work with audience.
Yeah, I think that what we need to do is get a room for you maybe to meet in so that
right
those
here.
Of you who would be spokesmen, maybe this would be
yeah,
a good place
get,
to
I'm checking right now to see if this room is free all the way through 4.
Okay.
Because I will leave my copy of the commissioner's if we run out of copies. And
what I suggested basically, and the attorney that was testifying was absolutely right, because there would have to be something done with the identification of certificate issued under Section 13, because in essence it would be Section 13 of the Act, unless that presently exists in law. If it presently exists in law, then it would continue to exist in the same manner with my amendment. All my amendment basically does is it says the commissioner's going to determine if there's competition, and if there's competition, the commissioner's going to deregulate.
So you would allow the institutional networks being developed by the cable companies to exist, and then the commissioner would see that competition and allow the phone company to come in and compete.
Yeah. Then the other thing that I suggested is, because I think that this whole thing is beginning to be a ball, that we really do study it, both from your perspective and the telephone company's perspective and the commissioner's perspective during the interim, so that we can speak to the future, because otherwise this is going to come back and bite us 2 years from now.
Todd Agrea, and part that was part of my original testimony, and I should identify myself also as the chairman of the Oregon Association of Telecommunications Officers and Advisors, which is a professional membership organization of professionals in local government involved in cable television and telecommunications. And we would be willing to assist the committee investigate that particular matter.
I got to break in. We've got to go to the floor.
I'd like to intervene, Mr. Chairman. The only reason there appears to be some agreement is because the only folks you've heard from is the PUC commissioner and local governments. There's a bigger issue here, and I just want to make sure we end on that note that we haven't heard from everybody yet.
That is why I'm going to recess till 4 o'clock. And, if you folks can sit down and try at least hash over these proposed amendments. And you can stay in this room if you like. This room is free. We'll be back here in this room at 4 o'clock to reconvene. We are in recess.
Well, you can't forget all the bill, but take the bill that came to us from the Senate, all right? It came from the Senate. And make this arrangement in addition to what came from the Senate.
So why are you going to give me a rat on that one?
Whether amendments... Yeah, what I'm saying is... I talked to Turlin, and I didn't understand that the Turlin's Commission was assuming control, by the way it was written, when I first learned this. So I looked at it and said, what does this do for us? Well, it doesn't do anything for us. The only thing it does something for us is if the Public Utilities Commissioner is required to deregulate it.
We recessed State and Federal Affairs Committee. Now I call it back to order. We do have a quorum. Note those present. Those who are not present are excused.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate amendments to Senate Bill 202 that were amended into the bill a week ago today in their entirety be removed from Senate Bill 202.
Representative Zajon moves that we take back the amendments amended into the bill last week, Thursday. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition to the motion? The bill stands amended. The bill is now in a form that it came to us from the Senate a week ago.
I'd move it to the floor if you do.
Representative Zajon moves Senate Bill 202 A engrossed as it came to us from the Senate to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Representative Shipwreck?
Aye.
Zajon?
Aye.
Otto?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye. At 4-0, it does pass to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Now, what we are going to do with
Carrier.
Who wants to carry? You want to carry this thing? Representative Shipwreck will be a carrier. There is still the unfinished business that the utility commissioner brought into us. I think it's an important thing. I, along with some of the committee members, also feel that the question is so large and our time is so short that there's no way we can adequately take care of this in this bill at this time. What I'm going to do is instruct the committee staff to send a letter to both the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House asking for either an interim committee or a joint task force to make certain that when we deal with this issue again, it will have far more background than we have now. And for those who are a bit disappointed, I'm sorry, but it is a very large and very complicated issue, and I don't want to put something out of this committee or out of this legislature that we're going to regret. So other than that, the business of this committee is taken care of. Is there any further discussion on the committee? If not, we stand adjourned.